In order to instruct and encourage the dads today as well as the moms. And so throughout my tenure as a dad and as a husband, the Lord has taught me many things. I didn't know as much when I got married and had children as I know now. So what I'm going to share with you is not things that I necessarily did well at. But now that I'm older and wiser, hopefully, some men grow old with age. I'm sorry, grow wise with age, and some people just get older. And so hopefully I'm getting wiser as I get older. So I don't think anybody enters into a marriage or has a family that says, I think I'm just going to ruin my kids. I'm going to mess my kids up. I'm going to do everything I can to make them a horrible example in society. I want to see how quickly they can end up in juvie. I don't think anybody ever does that, but many times we don't put into practice the things that the Lord has told us to put into practice, and therefore our children don't turn out like we thought they ought to. So, I believe that all parents want to do well by their children, and they want to do well as a husband or a wife. And like I said, I'll be the first to admit I didn't get it all right. I still don't get it all right. But today I want to share with you some valuable lessons I've learned from my wife, my children, other dads, which are grounded in Scripture. And some things I've learned from Scripture as well to help us as parents become the best that we can be. Can we stop for a minute and pray? Lord, I pray you'd search our hearts today. Lord, for some people today, Father's Day is a very difficult time because perhaps of the dads that they had. And this is not a good memory for them. So, Lord, I want to pray for these individuals this morning. Lord, there are old wounds that need to be released to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just minister to each person today. And Father, that you would reach into their deepest recesses of their soul. And Lord, that you would heal those wounds that they've been carrying for many years. Lord, perhaps their dads are passed away now, but yet those memories, recordings still haunt them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just be with them today. And God, that you would bring healing and restoration. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, many times our understanding of you and how you treat us come from the way our dad treated us. And Lord, many times that's the totally opposite of what the truth is. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us a fresh vision of you. And God, that we would open our hearts to you today. Lord, I feel some resistance today, and I don't know what's going on, but I just ask, God, that you would minister to each person that's here. Lord, some came with troubled hearts today, and I pray, Father, that you would minister to them. Lord, there may be some here today who look back and they don't feel like that they did as well with their children that they should have. And maybe they have wayward children. Lord, we release that guilt and that burden to you. And ask, O Lord, that you would bring restoration. to those children. Lord, there are many prodigals out there who need to come back to you. And so, Lord, we pray for each child who's walked away from you. And, Lord, ask that you would bring them back into your fold. And, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' holy and wonderful and marvelous name. Amen. So, I want to give you a few guidelines to help you with your family life. The title of this message is Family Matters. And so, the first guideline that I would share with you is that as you're raising your children, you need to set up clear guidelines and clear boundaries for your children. Okay? Set up clear boundaries for your children. What do you expect from them? What do you want them to do? What do you not want them to do? So, depending on the age of the child will depend upon what you're expecting of them. So at 2 years old, you would say, I don't want you to have a temper tantrum. Okay? And so, there are some expectations. If a child is sitting at their high chair and they throw their food out on the floor, there's some expectations. You could say, you know what? We're going to handle that a different way. All right? So there are some boundaries. When they get 3 years old, they can start picking up their toys. When they get 6 years old, they can start cleaning their room, that kind of thing. And so there are boundaries that you need to put in place. Okay? God sets clear boundaries for us. He calls them commands. And he says, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what I want you to do. And I command you to do this. Now, there are rewards for doing what God says. Okay? So the second guideline is that when your children do what they're supposed to, then reward them. God rewards us, so we need to reward them. So reward good behavior. So how do you reward them? All right, sometimes it can be encouraging words. It can be praising them. Sometimes it can say, okay, now that you did this, then I will give you 30 minutes on the Nintendo or the PlayStation or the iPad or whatever it is. Reward them. A lot of children, listen please, a lot of children, I know you're listening, I just said that to get your attention. A lot of children think they have a right to do these things. And when they don't get to do it, they throw a hissy fit. Okay? They need to see this as a privilege and not a right. I'm 16 years old. I have a right to drive. No, it's a privilege to drive. Don't build your children with the sense of entitlement. I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. Don't allow. See, here's the thing, parents. You are building lives. Okay. You have a tremendous responsibility ahead of you, and you're building lives. That's the greatest thing that you would ever be able to do, is to build the lives of the children that God has entrusted to you. So when they do well, reward them. The third thing is establish disciplinary measures when the boundaries are broken. Okay? So when they don't do what you've expected them to do and they've been told to do, and they continue not to do it, then there needs to be some kind of discipline to help them learn what they need to do. Are you with me? Now, this is not taught in our society today. And this may be new words for many of you. Okay? But whenever you have put the boundaries in place, you need to enforce them and not let it just slide one day. You have to be consistent. So establish and follow through with disciplinary measures, okay? Some people, give an encouraging word, give them a pat on the back. Sometimes we would put our children's toys in timeout. Okay? Sometimes we'd put our children in timeout. But whatever works for them, then make sure that what they... So one of the things, what do they enjoy the most? Usually if you take that away, that has some kind of impact on them. Okay? Children respond differently to different things. You can have three different children in your family and every one of them will respond differently. Okay? Not everybody responds to a word spoken. Not everybody responds to a timeout. Sometimes there are more severe measures that need to be taken. I'm not trying to give you kids any ideas. But when I was in the fifth grade, I had a teacher called Mr. Fortenberry, and he would whip us with his hand. I know the teachers can't do that nowadays. They could in our day. It's not that some of you don't deserve it. It's just not accepted nowadays. So my friend and I, Doug, would sit at our desk and we would try to come up with something we could do to get a spanking from Mr. Fortenberry. Because it didn't hurt and we were trying to see who could get the most throughout the year. And so we had our pocket knives and we would put a little mark on our desk every time we got a spanking. Well, I carried that behavior over into Coach Webb's class. Now, Coach Webb was our high school football coach. And he had a paddle that looked like an ace of spades. And it had 18 holes drilled in it. And you know what? It only took me one time in Coach Webb's class. And I straightened up. My parents didn't get involved. Matter of fact, when I was going to school, if my parents found out I got a whipping, they would whip me when I got home. Anyway, I'm not encouraging you children to misbehave in class, but what I am saying to parents is sometimes you need to take deeper measures. If nothing else is working, you may need to take a paddle to the backside. Okay? And I know that that's not accepted in our culture today. And I instruct people in that, well, what if DHS gets involved? Here's the deal. If you don't help your children when they're young, you're going to lose them anyway. Okay? Whether DHS takes them or whatever, you're going to lose them. I was talking to a parent the other day, and it's been some time ago, I forget when, but anyway, he said his child said, I'm going to call DHS on you, and he said, here's the phone. You know what? You are the parent. And you need to go by God's standards and not allow the world to dictate to you what you should or shouldn't do, even in raising your children. Okay? I would imagine that every child in here has gotten a swat at one time or another. Yeah? I know I did. And parents, I would just say that if you're not doing that, you're hurting your children rather than helping them. Okay? And so there has to be disciplinary measures. And whatever it takes to help your child learn responsibility and to grow up to be a God-honoring person, that's what needs to be done. I'm getting there. Okay? Thank you. We might let you preach on that. Getting there. All right. So I forgive you, honey. She's my best help. So, number four, you got to get this, parents. You must agree on the boundaries and the discipline. If two parents are responsible for the upbringing of the child, you have to agree on this. Because Scripture says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. For either they will love the one and hate the other, or hold on to one and despise the other. Okay? So if you have two parents that are in opposition or opposed to one another, and the way that the children are disciplined, the children are going to embrace the one who is soft and resist the one who is taking measures to help them grow up and to be a wise individual. Does that make sense? So parents, you have to come together. You have to agree. You must agree. And then once you have agreed, you must be consistent. I mentioned this earlier, but you have to be consistent. If it's important enough to set your boundaries, then you follow through with them. If you're not going to follow through with them, don't set them. Okay? Consistency in the parents helps the children be consistent in their behavior. Did you know it's work to raise children right? Did you know that they just don't do it by themselves very well? Did you know that? Sam, did you know that?
No answer.
No answer. neither confirm or deny. Children cannot raise themselves. That's not the way God designed it. That's the reason He allowed us as parents to be the parent. Now, did you also realize that there are some parents who just don't have the tools? They just don't. They didn't get the tools growing up, and they don't know how to give the tools out. Okay? And so what I'm hopefully helping you do today is to give you tools to help you in your parenting. You have to be consistent. Don't expect something of them one day and let it slide the next. Okay? If you don't want your two-year-old to throw a temper tantrum on Monday and you take measures to stop the temper tantrum, then don't let him do it on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. You take the same measures, whatever it took on Monday to stop the temper tantrum, you do it on Wednesday. If you allow your two-year-old to have a temper tantrum, did you know that there are 50-year-olds who have temper tantrums? I see it on TV quite often. Okay? And so, if you're not trained when you're small, you're going to take this with you throughout your life. Okay? And so parents, we have a tremendous responsibility in God's eyes. And we need, our responsibility is to Him. And when we get to heaven, God, the excuse is not going to be, Lord, DHS scared me, and so I didn't follow your rules. I didn't do what you wanted me to because DHS scared me. How do you think that's going to fly? Todd was at school the other day. And he began sharing about Christ with a kid. And he said, what are they going to do? Sue me? So Jacob, at school the other day, and he started sharing Christ with a kid. He said, what are they going to do? Sue me? Don't be intimidated. Don't let fear rule your life. Amen. God will be with you. So, did you know that it's hard to find good workers nowadays in the employment industry? And one of the reasons is, I believe, that parents weren't consistent in teaching responsibility. And if they were consistent in teaching responsibility, there would be enough workers to be able to fulfill jobs and that kind of thing. But because they choose not to do those things, then there's not enough workers to fill the needs, even in our town. Number 6, always discipline in love and not anger. Always discipline in love and not anger. Sometimes your kids can get on your nerves. Okay? So I would say 2 things. 1, cool down before you discipline. But the second thing I would say is this. Many times we as parents keep telling our kid, and they don't do it, and they don't follow through. And the more we tell them, the more our anger rises, and pretty soon it's like, oh! So what about this? What if you set your own boundaries? And you say, you know what, I'm going to tell you once. If you don't do it, I'm going to remind you. But if you don't do it the second time, then I'm going to have to take measures to help you remember that this is not acceptable. Okay? What would that do for your anger? It's not going to be there because you did not allow them to push your button. Okay? So, listen, please. Never curse your children. Never holler at them. That may be the way you were raised. But how does God treat you? Does He holler at you? You're His child. How does He treat you? With love. So never holler at them, never curse them, never call them names, and never put them down. I grew up in a family with 6 boys. Poor dad and poor mom. I think dad was like, he was pretty, maybe in his late 50s, when the first time he showed his belt and said, this is the first belt I've owned that it's not broken in the middle, where he had to whip his boys. Okay? But I can never, ever remember my dad cursing me, hollering at me. I can never remember him calling me names or putting me down. Never remember that. I was blessed. Some of you didn't grow up with that, and you thought when you raised your children, that's the way things ought to be. Okay? That's not the way God treats you. So you don't treat your children like that. Okay? Don't treat your children like that. You know what? Look at your action steps. So in your bulletin, there's an action steps. And one of those action steps says that I feel like I messed up with my family, and I need to spend some time this week to ask God to forgive me. Because sometimes, you know, that's all we need to do is ask the Lord to forgive us. And then we might even need to ask our children to forgive us. I've asked both of my children on many occasions, I remember when I did this, would you please forgive me? They said yes. I will. Wife too. That's exactly right. Thank you, Ken. Good reminder. So, number 7. Never provoke your children. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. And then we'll skip to verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline. And instruction that comes from the Lord. Then in Colossians 3, 19 through 21 says, husbands, love your wives. Do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So, dads and moms, don't irritate your children. Okay? Don't pick at them. Don't take your anger out on your children or your spouse. If you get angry at work, leave it at work. Don't bring it home with you. Because what is going to happen if you bring your anger from work home with you? You're going to take it out on the family. And so, don't bring that home with you. It's never okay to abuse your child. Okay? It's never okay to abuse your child. Many times we as parents parent the way we've been parented. That's not always the case. But I see this quite often. Parents say, well, my parents parented me this way, and it was horrible. So I'm going to go to this extreme. My parents abused me, so I'm not going to discipline my children at all. Okay? Abuse is never okay. But neither is not disciplining your children. Okay? Or the other extreme, my parents just let me do whatever I wanted to do. So, I'm going to make sure my children don't do anything they're not supposed to. Guess what happens? You turn them into rebellious children. Okay? So, never provoke your children. I realized early in my marriage that the ways my parents parented me was not going to work with our children. And my wife helped me see that. So, over time, through seeking the Father, through seeking through Scripture, I realized that there were things that God's view of the way family was designed was different than my view. And the way that dads and husbands were supposed to act was different than my view. Okay? I just want to share Ephesians chapter 5. So, number 8, the last one is, I must love and respect my wife unconditionally. I must love and respect my wife unconditionally. Did you know that your children are watching how you treat your wife? And the respect you have, they have for you, will determine a lot on how much respect you have for your wife. Ephesians 5, 22 through 28. Husbands usually get hung up on verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord, but I want us to go into verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So I want to ask you a question. How does Christ treat you? Husbands, how does Christ treat you? Unconditional love. He affirms you. He lifts you up. He encourages you. Scripture says, and I think it is in the Old Testament, says that the Lord sings over you and dances over you. Okay? So he has joy. So there's joy that he has for his spouse. There's joy that he has for his children. So when the Lord showed me this, that I wasn't treating my wife like Christ treated me, that had a huge impact on my life. So dads, husbands, you have a responsibility to treat your wife just as Christ treats you. Okay? Also, in 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, likewise dwell with them, your wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So if we treat our wives with love and respect, what is our reward? All right, our prayers are answered. Okay? If we don't treat them with love and respect, what happens? What's our punishment? Do what?
Misery.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Twofold. One is misery. And the second one is your prayers are hindered. And so I want to encourage you, dads, parents, husbands, love and respect one another. So God set boundaries for each of us. They were called commands. And did you know that all of us are guilty of violating His commands? Every single one of us. And because of that, there are consequences. And Scripture says that those consequences for violating God's commands is eternal separation from Him in a place called hell. And somebody has to be punished for those sins. I heard of a story once where this man had a wayward son. And he was a teenager, and no matter what the dad did, he could not get the boy to come back into line. He would talk to him, he would pray for him, he would whip him, he would do everything he knew to do to help his boy. One day, after tremendous disobedience, the boy came home. The dad had his belt out. He said, "Son, I love you. The things that you have done has hurt me and your mom. and you have to be punished for what you did. And I don't want to do this. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to let you take the belt. And I want you to whip me until I tell you that the punishment has been paid. And so the boy took the belt. He started whipping his dad. It didn't take long, and the boy started breaking down and crying. And he couldn't do it anymore, because the dad was willing to take the punishment. Did you know that's what God did for you? We all deserve to be punished. Every single one of us. But God decided that, you know, I don't want to punish you. So I'm going to allow my son to receive the punishment for our violation of his commands. And so Scripture teaches us that if we will turn from our sin and receive that gift from God, that gift of Jesus being punished for our sin, then that relationship can be restored. That son and dad's relationship was restored because the son was willing to repent, because he saw the pain that it caused his dad. I want to ask you this morning, how's your relationship with the Father, the Heavenly Father? Have you received His forgiveness for your sin? Are you trying to live in obedience to Him? This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you to receive that gift that God has for you. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your instruction. And Lord, we continue to learn from your word more and more and more. We're able to, as we shared last week, the more we put it in our lives, the more free we become. So Lord, what I want is freedom for each individual here. But Lord, there may be some here today who've never received Christ as their Savior. They've made prayed a prayer. They may have been baptized. They may belong to a church, but they've never had that encounter with you. I pray, oh, today, Father, that you would hear their prayer. Lord, that they receive the gift of Jesus' punishment for their sin. They receive you. They want to walk with you. They desire you. Lord, I want to also pray for these parents today, that they would be able to carry through and carry out the instructions that were given today. And Lord, this next week will be a whole lot better in their family life than it was this week. And Lord, the week after would be better than the previous week. And Lord, that there would be godly children, God-honoring children, raised up in this church. And we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to open the altar.